This is Grumpy SEO Guy, episode 72, How to Build Your Own PBN, part 4. You're listening to Grumpy SEO Guy, the SEO podcast that doesn't waste your time with nonsense that doesn't work. I'm the Grumpy SEO Guy, and I'm sharing with you the strategies that have helped me successfully run my SEO agency for the last 14 years. In this podcast, I'll be sharing my knowledge and experience, discussing tips and strategies, and trying to help you cut through the confusion that permeates this industry. If you listen to this podcast, you will know more about SEO than 99% of people on the planet. Ready? Let's get started. I'm the Grumpy SEO Guy. Let me tell you why I'm grumpy today. Actually, I'm not even grumpy today. Today is pretty cool because I'm doing How to Build Your Own PBN Part 4. There's three episodes. Okay, so if you're just starting, okay, there's three episodes, episodes 3, 4, and 5, that explain completely how to build your own private blog portfolio or private blog network, okay? But people had a lot of questions, and I posted a thread on Reddit in the Grumpy SEO Guy subreddit, and people replied with their questions. And in this episode, I'm going to be answering those questions. Okay, here we go. But before we do that, my lawyer tells me that I have to say this right now. A quick disclaimer before we get started, everything I say here is based on my experience and opinion from 14 years in the industry. I don't officially know how Google or any other search engines work. Everything I say here is hypothetical and based on my experience. This podcast does not constitute advice or services. What worked for me may or may not work for you. Okay, back to the show. Question number one from Reddit user Subliminal Glue. Subliminal Glue posts a lot in the Grumpy SEO Guy subreddit. He's a pretty smart person. Okay, anyway, here's his question. As I've mentioned, I think we'd benefit from seeing you walk through your process, most of all, how to find a decent domain for less than $1K, meaning $1,000. So a couple people have actually asked me to make a video demonstrating the whole process, which is something that I am planning on doing. Okay, it might take a little bit, but I'm planning on doing it because I agree. I think it would be helpful. Okay, that one was easy. Next question. What do you think about the Google API leak? A lot of sources say that links without traffic / clicks are considered low quality and are not ranking signals. And then there's a link to the leak. Okay, cool. Not really about PBNs, but I will address it anyway. I might do an episode on this, but I just read the leak. But I wanna say though, because okay, so one person replied to this. And they said, so does this mean PBNs are a waste of time? And then somebody replied and said, yes, do not use Ignore Grumpy SEO. Anyways, look, like there is a specific, I don't have the document in front of me right now, but there was a specific comment somewhere in a release from Google, I think, that said, don't repurpose old sites. And their example was reusing like a medical website as like a casino or something like that. Like obviously, I don't think that's what I'm telling you to do anyway. I have never said reuse an authoritative website that was previously for medical stuff as a casino. I've literally never said to do anything even remotely similar to that. In fact, I have said avoid casino sites. So yeah, it's not really the same thing, but everybody loves to use that as an example because I don't know if they just haven't read the document. Maybe they're just trying to think critically, which is cool. But guys, I don't know. But don't take an established authoritative domain and turn it into a casino. Like just probably it's not a good idea. Okay, next question. Would be interested in why you're suggesting to limit the posts to 10, meaning posts on a PBN. I have some PBNs with over 500 pages that works fine. Something might change my perspective though. Okay, I'm going to tell you what I responded to this question and then I'm going to give you some more specifics on this answer. I'm not suggesting that, but I was asked about that limit. Okay, let's hold on here for a little bit. In the first episodes, in episodes 3 through 5, I think I said something along the lines of limit. I maybe didn't say the word limit. I'm not sure. But I said something about like 10 posts per PBN or something along those lines. Okay. Let me share a little bit more information about that. Okay. I never said, and if I did, it was not my meaning to say limit your posts on a PBN to 10 posts. Okay. But here's why I said that. Back in the day, and again, this is going to vary based on like the WordPress theme that you use. But back in the day, WordPress themes by default would have a certain number of posts that appear on the homepage. Okay. And I say back in the day, but like, okay, let's hold on for another second because I got to tell you another thing first. Okay. Look, WordPress was originally like for blogging, right? But now it's used for tons of different things in addition to blogging, okay? But like original WordPress themes were about posts and pages and comments, right? Now, of course, you can set up like services and stores and like all the stuff that doesn't even look like a blog at all. But back in the day, it was mostly for blogging, okay? So your theme would have a post or whatever like on the homepage or more than one or whatever. And then the additional posts would be on extra pages that were not on the homepage, okay? So the reason I said 10 was because, and you can modify this variable in different WordPress themes, but generally speaking, most blogs would have 10 posts on the homepage, okay? So if those 10 posts are on the homepage, they are providing more authority by being on the homepage where the authority is than if they are on an inner page. So I never said, or if I did, I wasn't trying to tell you to limit it to 10 posts. I may have said 10 OBLs, denoting outbound links, but never 10 posts. But by leaving it at 10, they are more likely to stay on the homepage and provide more link juice. Let me ask you a question. Which do you think provides more link juice? A post on the homepage where all of the authority is, or a post on some distant page in a folder, in another directory somewhere else on the site? It's the one on the homepage in like 99% of cases, okay? So I hope this clarifies it. I actually had another person, I was actually in a meeting with somebody and they asked me this question. They're like, why is it only 10? And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good point. I should probably clarify. So great question. Okay, cool. Next question. If you had to choose one, would you choose to build a PBN or a PBN-like strategy, assuming the purpose is to raise the authority of your one new site and not for client use? One, the strategy in episode 31, how to do SEO when you don't have access to or cannot afford a PBN, or two, buying expired domains but under 10 authority, say 4 to 9, with acceptable quality but not great number of backlinks. Assume these domains do not break any serious requirements, no adult pharma gambling, safe server location, clear history year-over-year.com, maybe or maybe not index. Thank you. Okay, let me summarize that question. This person is asking which is better, using Web 2.0s, like I described in the episode, how to do SEO when you don't have access to or cannot afford a PBN, or buying lower value domains and using those in your PBN. Definitely buying lower value websites and using those in your PBN. Web 2.0s are way less effective than they used to be. And it's a secondary strategy that can work in addition to PBN backlinks. But if you had to pick only one, I would definitely use your own domains. Okay, next question. Hey, Grumpy SEO Guy. Thanks for answering our questions. There are a few questions that have been nagging me about the industry since we are investing a lot of time, money, and effort into building PBN sites. How do you feel about the future of the SEO industry, given that AI has become a tool to allow people to search for info and avoid the downsides of search engines, such as being bombarded with paid advertising and search results, or finding websites with content irrelevant to their search queries since they have more authority? What do you think of the recent news that the DOJ has deemed Google a monopoly and might try to break it up with antitrust laws? How do you think it may affect the future of SEO? Oh, good questions. Okay. I'm not really worried about AI. Like, look, here's the thing. When you search for something, okay, that first thing that you see that is sometimes an AI response, who cares? Like, honestly, it's pulling data from something which may or may not be correct. Okay, that's cool. But let me ask you a question. What is the reason you're doing SEO? Like, are you trying to make money somehow? Like, most people who are doing SEO are doing it because they are trying to sell something, right? Nobody's going to buy anything or not based on an AI answer to a question. Well, actually, that's not true. Somebody might hear something that they dislike and then decide not to buy a thing. But you get my point. If you're selling blue widgets, do you know of a question that somebody could type in and see an AI response and then think, I'm not going to buy a blue widget anymore? No, they still have to go to your website, select the blue widget that they want, and purchase it. Like, AI is not going to stop that from happening. Unless AI makes its own store and builds its own blue widgets, which, like, honestly might happen. But that's not precisely what you're asking about in this question. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it's not a big deal. I've never been like, oh no, AI is going to steal our visitors. Because your website still has to be providing some kind of value, right? Like, I don't think AI is going to take that away. I'm not sure. Okay, next part of your question. How do I feel about the news the DOJ has deemed Google a monopoly and might try to... all right, that's cool. I don't really have any feelings on it one way or the other.
If they're a monopoly, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to run everything the way they're doing it right now.
Monopolies are bad. Okay, next, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what else is going on. By the way, there's other search engines. I'm not even saying Google gives the best results, okay? You should experiment with other search engines. And I think, you know, that maybe at some point in the future, Google will not be the popular search engine that it is today. Do you remember back in the day when it wasn't and everybody was using a different thing and then Google became cool? It's probably going to happen again at some point in the future. I'm not really sure, but you know, like, I don't know, who cares? Honestly, like, I don't know how to answer that question. Sorry. Like, I know that's not the answer you want, so I apologize, but I'm not sure what other answer to give you. Monopolies are bad. So if they're a monopoly, it's probably a good ruling. Okay. Next question. I'd love a post on common black hat tactics that are done poorly. No, we don't teach black hat on this podcast. Sorry. My favorite, buying a domain, adding HTML files to prop up the site for lulz, then no index the homepage and set it's canonical to the domain you're trying to juice. I've seen this a few times. I find it fascinating. Cool. But we're not going to teach black hat SEO in here. Sorry. Because look, all the people that fail to comprehend the nuance of what I'm saying, okay? If people are struggling to understand real SEO, I'm not going to teach black hat SEO. Like, no. Plus, you should never use black hat SEO on a site that you care about long term. That's just like the regular advice. Because if you get caught, and you probably will, your site's probably going to get de-indexed. So that's where the expression rank and bank, or also sometimes churn and burn, comes from. Like, promote an SEO site as strongly as possible, and then eventually you get caught using black hat tricks, and then your site gets, you know, kicked out of search engines forever. But you know, you made a lot of money in that short period of time, so yeah, whatever. Anyways, it's not my plan, but sorry, I apologize for not giving you black hat tricks. Okay, next question. I'm interested in how much of the old site do you need to recreate via grabbing old content from archive.org? Okay, as I actually replied to this one in the thread, I said, this is addressed in episode 5, you do not copy old sites, period. Okay, and then this person followed up and said, okay, but can you clarify what to do with all the old URLs from the old site? In a prior post, you indicated that WordPress can do 301s. Sure, plugins can do 301s on content you created, but don't you need server access to do 301s on old patterns from the old site? Okay, there's more to the question, and I don't mean to skip it, but I can already answer the question. Look, you use a WordPress plugin, okay, and there's a lot that will do this. You use a WordPress plugin that will 301 every old existing page to the homepage. You don't need server access. You don't need to recreate the old pages. You literally activate this plugin, and anything that is a 404, a page that does not exist, because the old pages are not online anymore, okay, automatically get 301'd to the homepage. So if somebody types in a URL that doesn't exist, it gets 301 to the homepage because that's a 404 error because it doesn't exist. I hope that makes sense. It's really easy. You just install a 301 plugin, and there's different ones, okay? But like, lots of them have options that say like 301 all 404s to the homepage or something. That's all you do. That's literally all you do. Okay, hope that answers the question. Next question. Post length / rates / pictures, do something on determining keywords. Okay, post length / rates / pictures. What is the number one rule in building a PBN site? I may or may not have said this, but I'm sure some of you can intuit this. Make it look normal, okay? Make it look like a standard website. Okay, now here's part two of the question. Do you think that standard websites have post length requirements or post rate requirements or number of picture requirements? Or do you think that they post whenever they feel like it? Some posts are going to be short, some are going to be longer. Okay, some might have no pictures, some might have a lot of pictures, right? I would say probably works the second way. So there is nothing. And if you're making a bunch of websites where every post has exactly 900 words and every post has exactly 2 pictures, do you think that looks real or do you think that looks weird, like you're trying to fake something or follow a formula? Okay, it's the second one. It looks weird. So post whenever you feel like it. Make your posts as long as you feel like making them and put as many pictures in them as you feel like putting in them. Like literally just make a website
It's good. Like, you're thinking too much about it. You don't want like a robot website where everything is exactly the same, right? Just post whenever you feel like it. Make it long enough. Have some pictures, okay? And that's the answer to your question. And I'm not like trying to be snarky here, but a lot of times people, I get a lot of questions when people are overthinking things. It's like, just who cares? Just make a post. Your posting is better than not posting, okay? But don't make everything precisely the same. Like, I post every Friday at exactly 3:18 p.m. Central Time, and I have exactly 3 pictures. Like, no, that's weird. Don't just make a website, okay? Like, just make a website. You're fine. Just if you're posting sometimes, and you've got content and pictures, you're doing just fine, okay? Like, you're actually doing just fine, okay? I'm gonna actually talk more about this in a later episode too, because I get this question so much and it's going to be relevant to another thing that we talk about. Okay. Part two, do something on determining keywords. That has nothing to do with PBNs, but I will talk about that in the future. Okay. Next question. Three questions. One, does the quality of the site matter? Asked another way, how much effort do you put into designing the PBN site? Number two, are all the sites in your portfolio generalist, or does there come a time when it makes sense to have, say, an automotive-focused domain in your portfolio for more focused links? Three, let's say I find a good-looking domain, but archive snapshots show that it was used as a blog/PBN before. Would that rule it out for you? Okay, question number one, does the quality matter? Of course it does, because what's the number one rule in building a PBN? Have a normal looking website. You don't want some garbage website with terrible quality posts and some like basic theme that just looks like you put it together to build backlinks. If a human can tell that it exists to build backlinks, I believe a search engine can also tell that it was built to build backlinks. So make it look like a standard website. Question number two, are all the sites general, or does there come a time when it makes sense to say, have an automotive focused domain in your portfolio for more focused links? I get this question a lot. This is a very good question. Here's my answer. You can make anything, well, I shouldn't say anything. You can make almost anything relevant to almost anything, okay? So it doesn't matter pretty much what the subject of your website is. You should be able to create content that is relevant to something else, but also relevant to whatever the topic of your website is. I feel like I've explain this in one of the other episodes. Let me give you an example. Let's say, okay, automotive, right? Maybe your website is not about automotive, but you have a client who has an automotive website, right? But what is your website about, okay? Is it about somebody who loves to read books, okay? Well, maybe that person is interested in buying a car because of something he read about recently. There's your link. It's contextual. It's relevant. You're welcome. Finally, there are some people who think that you need to have like blogs in your PBN that are like specific to a precise topic. And it's like, that's cool, but that's also restricting who you can take on as a client. Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say that you've got a bunch of websites about blue widgets. And so you're gonna build backlinks to blue widget clients, and it's gonna be like super relevant because they're coming from all these blue widget websites. Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. But you're restricting yourself to that industry, because why would a bunch of blue widget websites link to something that is different than blue widgets, right? That may actually be a footprint. And also, here's the other thing. The thing that I think people don't think about when they do this is if you're like getting a bunch of blue widget websites because you're going to do blue widget SEO, right? You're going to maybe get to a point where you have competitors as clients, and that is a conflict of interest. So I'm not going to tell you what to do in this case, but I would use caution if you are considering going that route. Next question. Three, let's say I find a good-looking domain, but it used to be used as a blog/PBN before. Would that rule it out for you? Yes, it would. Okay, next question. It would be great if you could talk more on how to evaluate expired domains. I use SEMrush, Moz, and Ahrefs. Their DA ratings differ sometimes a lot. I usually check how many referring domains point at the site and how many of them are high DA or well-known Wikipedia or some big newspaper. I also check the spam report on SEMrush. I think it would help a lot if you could maybe even dedicate an entire episode to it, or just dedicate some minutes at least in the upcoming PBN episode. Okay, good question. My response was, have you listened to episode 3? Most of that is covered in there.
Because it was. Sorry. I'm not trying to avoid your question, but I've literally answered all those questions, I think, in episode 3. Authority ratings differ a lot because authority is a guess. It is not actually a real measure of authority. So, of course, they're going to differ a lot. If you are using more than one tool, I try to compare them. And if, for example, if two of your three tools say that it's pretty decent authority and the other one doesn't, it's probably pretty decent. If two of them say it's bad and one of them says it's good, it's probably not that great. But they're guesses, so it literally makes no difference ultimately, which is why I say number of referring domains and that kind of thing and quality of backlinks and quality of referring domains is better. It's a better metric than using one of the authority metrics, okay? So again, listen to episode 3 because I explain those. Okay, next question. When bidding on an expired domain after you do the research and it looks good, do you recommend manually bidding or automating it? I only realized that automating was a thing when I placed a bid for the first time and was immediately outbid. Thanks, Grumpy. You're welcome. I said I didn't know that GoDaddy had automated bidding. And then I said, oh, wait, I might have. And then I said I'd do it manually. I think, okay, in auction sites, you can bid like your maximum, but it won't put the bid there until somebody else bids up to that number. That was like the worst example. Let me say this better. If you bid $80, but the price is $50, okay, it's not gonna raise the price to 80. It's gonna raise the price to like 55 or whatever the smallest increment is, okay? So if it was 55, let's say it was 55 and somebody else had bid 80, right? But it's still 55. And then you come in and you bid 60, of course, it's going to immediately go up to 65 because that other person has bid 80. I hope that makes sense. That's how auctions work. Okay, next question. Hello there. I wanted to ask about creating relevance for the PBN site to the money site. For example, if the PBN site is about nails and the customer is in the online slash video marketing niche, how about creating... Oh, whoops, that was actually the question. wrong intonation, my bad. And the customer is in the online slash video marketing niche. How about creating an infographic for the PBN site, then implementing it in a post and backlink the graphic? Sure, why? You can do that. That sounds cool. Create an infographic. Let me read it. Hold on, let me make sure I'm telling you the right thing. How about creating an infographic for the PBN site, then implementing it in a post and backlink the graphic? Yeah. What you described sounds like a cool plan. I would recommend you doing that. Look, so this goes back to the other thing. You can write a post about basically anything that is on topic for basically anything else, okay? So even if your website is about nails, okay, maybe on your website, you're going to do a post about how you're interested in video marketing because you want to get the word out there about your nails. So You can do it. Like, stop overthinking. And I don't mean you in general who asked this question. I mean, just overall, everybody, stop overthinking and just write posts that are relevant to the thing and also relevant to the topic of your site. Okay, next question from the same person. Additionally, I want to know your thoughts about CDNs. Not sure if you covered it in the past or in your newer episodes. Excuse the question if you already talked about this in length. I'm going to be honest with you. I get asked about this a lot. People ask me about CDNs and Cloudflare in particular a lot. I do not have enough knowledge to answer the question. So I don't even want to tell you the wrong thing. I literally don't have enough information to answer that question. Next question. Can we get a full course? LOL, no, but actually. And then I responded and I was actually hoping for a response from this person. I said, what would you want in that? What could I teach you in a course that is not covered in the podcast? Actual serious question. Let me know and I'll probably do an episode or two on it. Okay. Next question. Let's say I have a PBN site that only linked to Wikipedia and a big brand site and my money site. Will my money site get less authority if I start selling backlinks from the PBN site? Okay. This is going to be covered in a future episode too. And look, no. Okay. Let me put it like this. Don't hoard authority, okay? Because this is a mistake that people make a lot. They're like, I got all this authority and I'm not going to build backlinks because I want all the authority to myself. It doesn't work that way. Like, stop, okay? No, it's fine. Like, if you've got like three, I'm not even sure how to say this. If you've got like three links coming off of your site, one of which, like you said, to Wikipedia, one to a big brand site, and one to your money site, and you start selling backlinks, it's not like you sell, because that's three, it's not like you sell link number four, and then suddenly, like, everybody loses authority because you just borrowed authority from that other link. Like, no, like, just no, it's you're totally fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. Next question. Is an English term domain used for a foreign language site that's not included in your no-no list okay to use for English links? Think chickenblaster.com for a German folk band. Assume all backlinks are translated and safe. It's totally fine. It's not a problem. As long as, because this is what you have to think about. Does it make sense? Okay. Would a German folk band use the domain chickenblaster.com? I mean, maybe. Or would it get backlinks from a site called chickenblaster.com? Maybe it might. If you can make it make sense, then yes. I hope that answers your question. Next question from the same person. How many iterations of link sequences can you realistically use before looking suspicious? For example, if site A gets links from PBN 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and site B gets links from PBN 2, 3, 4, and 5, is that not still quite suspect? Okay, great question. I probably will need to do an episode on this too, or I don't know, a picture or something. Okay. Okay. So the fewer overlaps you have, the better, right? Like ideally you would create brand new sites for everything, right? But that's probably not like possible because that would take forever and be expensive. So I'm going to tell you to like use your best judgment. Okay. I know people don't like that answer because they want like specific numbers, but I'm gonna tell you to use your best judgment. So to use your example, if site A has links from PBN 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and site B gets links from PBN 2, 3, 4, and 5, ask yourself, what are the chances that four random websites, because you have four websites here that have overlap, what are the chances that four random websites would each link to site A and to site B? I think you're kind of pushing it with that. Okay, next question. Maybe address if you should start a PBN for your local SEO agency serving local businesses. Okay, backlinks are important for local SEO, but not to the level that they are for not local SEO. Okay, so maybe, but you should also be concerned with having your Google My Business profile finished, and you should be concerned with making sure that references to name, address, and phone number or NAP is all accurate and the same everywhere. And you should be looking at getting reviews. You will also need citations. And the one thing with local SEO that you cannot manipulate with SEO is proximity. Okay. So look, if people search for your business and they are physically close to your business, they will see it in the results. And somebody that is further away will not see it in the results necessarily if there are other businesses that are nearer to them. Okay. So you can't manipulate that because that's like physical location. You can't, I mean, maybe, I don't know how to do it. So I shouldn't say you can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I feel like when you start manipulating local results or trying to manipulate local results, you kind of might be in a position that you don't want to be in. So I would probably recommend against doing that. But ultimately, look, backlinks can help, but you need to have those other things handled before you start doing the backlinking stuff for local SEO, okay? Last question. What is the best method to get portfolio sites indexed if we're avoiding Search Console and the related footprints? Do portfolio sites need to be on the same theme as previous sites? Let's assume the name is vague / can be applied to anything. The best way to get portfolio sites indexed is, number one, by domains that are already indexed. makes the process a whole lot easier. Number two, post new content. Number three, you can build backlinks to them if you want. Some people like really struggle to get their PBN domains indexed. Building backlinks to things helps to get them indexed. You can try pinging it. There's different pinging sites that may or may not work for you. Everybody always asks me about these indexing services. I do not ever recommend them. Not because they do or don't work, but because there are like not very many ways to get a site indexed. You can ping it, okay, which you can do yourself for free, or you can build backlinks to it, which you can probably do yourself, although it probably wouldn't be for free, but these indexing services are not free either. And my concern with these indexing services is that I'm pretty sure they're not just pinging your site. I'm pretty sure they're using backlinks. And I'm pretty sure that they are... This is just a guess, by the way. This might be completely erroneous, okay? But I'm pretty sure that they're building a link to you from some site that they have access to, and then once it gets, you know, crawled and indexed or whatever, they delete the link. And I'm always concerned when a link gets built and then removed very soon afterwards, because ask yourself, would that ever happen naturally? Probably not. It's weird to me. Maybe that's not how indexing services work. I'm not really sure. I haven't really ever looked into it other than like people email me them every once in a while. They're like, what do you think about this indexing service? And like, they're always the same. They're always just vague enough that they don't tell you how they do it. And by the way, when people are being vague about how they're doing SEO, don't work with that person. And number four, have a sitemap. This doesn't mean you need to submit it to Google, okay? It just means have a sitemap and link to it somewhere on your site. You can put it at the footer. Footer links to a sitemap are okay, okay? Don't worry about that because it's to your own site, okay? But make sure you have a sitemap, because a search engine will crawl the sitemap and then it will find all the pages on your site. That doesn't mean it will index them, but it means it will see them. Anyway, that's my answer. I hope it helps. And then their last question, do portfolio sites need to be on the same theme as previous sites? Let's assume the name is vague / can be applied to anything. I'm not sure if you mean on the same theme, like same WordPress theme, like same design, or on the same theme, like topic of the site. At either point, the answer is no, okay? Like, no, you don't have to recreate a WordPress theme. You don't have to recreate a topic. You can. Like, if the website is like bluewidgets.com, probably make it about blue widgets, okay? But if it's some like random name that you could apply, if it's like, okay, let's say it's just like a random word, like some weird branded word, right? Like, I don't know. Like, you can rebrand it as something else. It's not a big deal. I hope that answers your question. Okay, that was a lot of questions. I feel like this is kind of a long episode. Anyways, okay, thank you guys. Thanks to everybody who replied in this thread about what questions you want me to answer. And if you have any more, I might do another PBN question thread in the future. But in the meantime, thank you again to everybody who responded, and I'll talk to you later. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe. And if you enjoy this podcast, please leave a review. It would really help the show out. I hope this episode was helpful. If you have any questions or want to suggest a subject for a future episode, you can contact me on Reddit. My username is Grumpy SEO Guy. You can visit the Grumpy SEO Guy subreddit, or you can email me at hello@grumpyseoguy.com. If you email me, please either whitelist my email address or check your junk folders, because I've been told that my replies are going into the junk folder, and it's probably because we're talking about things like SEO and backlinks, and I think those words will classify an email as spam. And if you want to support the podcast, because it's the best source of SEO information on the planet and it's free, you can do so at patreon.com/grumpyseoguy. And I will talk to you later. You're listening to Grumpy SEO Guy, the SEO podcast that doesn't waste your time with nonsense that doesn't work. Join us next Wednesday when we talk about the 6 SEO interviews I went on and the questions they asked me.